You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks, and
you
welcome
to the Kevin Smith Show.
It's doing it again. Yeah, I did that last night. Hi, folks, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, and wherever you are all around this beautiful planet, I'm delighted that you're here. Those of you who are joining us for the very first time, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here, too. Now, this is Open Line Live Night, and that means that we will talk about whatever is on your mind. I have brought some topics, some stories to the table that I think are pretty interesting and pretty important. And the way this works, for those of you who are new, is I'll kick the ball off and get things started, get things rolling here with some topics, and then you can call in, and if you want to discuss what I'm talking about, that's fine. If you wish to discuss something else, that's fine too, as long as it's not politics. We have some breaking news, and it is serious and then not maybe as serious as it first sounds, but serious. Dick Criswell, a friend of this show, and he's been a guest on this show many times, the founder of the IPUS Network. He is the founder and director of International Paranormal UFO Society, has suffered a heart attack, and he was rushed from his home to St. Vincent's Heart Center in Indianapolis. So he's there now. At this point, the doctors are recommending that he have a quadruple bypass surgery. According to the report that I received, he suffered no palpitations or pain of any kind. But he was rendered non-coherent, and he could only communicate with his wife by means of eye signals. And so he was taken to the hospital. Now, that cleared up. And he is able to talk. I talked with him this afternoon and just before showtime, and he sounded fine. He sounded like his normal, cheerful self. And he said he's doing fine and felt great, and he didn't have any pain or discomfort whatsoever, but he had... suffered a heart attack, even though there was no pain, and they're saying that it was rather serious. So the email that I received about this is requesting that you set aside some time Friday night for a private prayer at around 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Dick Criswell, and of course for his wife, Joan. Now, you know, The Kevin Smith Show is a little bit different from a lot of the other shows in that we really sort of get to be family here. We sort of get to know each other, and we sort of get knit together. And I didn't realize just how much that was the case until one of our regular callers last year passed away. His name was Michelle, and he was from Canada. And when Michelle passed away, it was a loss throughout the family. We all felt it. And that's when I discovered just how deep this runs. So I wanted to pass that information on to you about Dick Criswell, because I know you feel that he is part of your family as well. And you'll want to say some prayers for him. All right, folks, we'll be back in just a moment with Open Line Live. All right, we are back, and as I have said, this is Open Line Live, and that means that we are open to whatever you decide you want to talk about. All you have to do is give us a call, and when we open the telephone lines. Now, it's going to be pretty important for you to have the telephone number. I understand that. So what we're going to do is put the telephone number up on the screen for you, and we will hope that you are able to see this. Okay, now let's see. Some of you are listening by radio. Some of you are watching our TV channel. And we are hoping that you will be able to see. But if you can't, then listen to the show as a radio show, because that is, in fact, what it is. All right. Now, I told you about Dick Criswell and about his heart attack, and that is important. That is a very important issue. And some of you are not praying people, you don't believe in that, and that's okay. If you don't believe in that, that's fine. But whatever it is that you do, if you pray, if you light candles, whatever it is that you do, do it on behalf of Dick Criswell. And I really believe that you are going to see some pretty astounding results if you do that. Now, how much money is $700 billion? Now, you know, we don't talk about politics here on the show. How much money is $700 billion, though? Well, of course, that is the figure. The $700 billion is the figure for the bailout that is being done, and the Senate has of the United States has passed it, but the House of Representatives still has to pass that bill, and then it has to go to the president and be signed. This is a $700 billion. They keep saying, well, it's not really a bailout. Yeah, it is. It's a bailout. It is caused by recklessness, ruthlessness, and irresponsibility. And, yeah, that's what it is. It's a bailout. Now, I want to ask you again, how much money is $700 billion? I mean, can you even comprehend, can you even imagine how much money $700 billion is? That's a lot of money, you know. And most of us, I tried to do some math with it today. My calculator goes into scientific mode and scientific notation, because it can't even handle all the zeros once you do the math with it. So $700 billion. Well, let's start comparing it to some things, and let me show you how messed up our priorities are. Let me show you how messed up our ideas are, and our video apparently is also messed up. But there we go. We're back. But let me show you how messed up our priorities are. $700 billion. What could you do with it? Well, you know, we spend a tremendous amount of money on space exploration every year, don't you know? I mean, NASA's got all of these science projects going. NASA's got all of these spacecraft flying. They've got the International Space Station that they're dealing with. And, you know, there's a mission control for that. And then there's mission control for all of the launches they do. And then there's, as I said, all the satellites. And then we've got two rovers that are running around on Mars. We've got satellites in orbit around Mars. We got satellites in orbit around Saturn. And we have a lander that has landed on Mars. I mean, NASA's doing a lot of stuff all at the same time. Now, their budget for the year comes to $17.6 billion. That is 2.5% of this amount of money that is going to be tossed at saving the, you know, we have some soap operas here in the United States. One is, you know, The Young and the Restless. I think there was one, The Bold and the Beautiful or something like that, and then Days of Our Life. Yeah, this $700 billion is going to be tossed at the reckless and the ruthless. It's going to be tossed at saving people who are already making millions and millions of dollars. But we have to do that because they have so designed their schemes that if they go down, they take us with them. This mess on Wall Street is so big that the entire budget of NASA represents only 2.5% of this bailout, $17.6 billion. And they say, well, we just don't have enough money to do all those things we wanted to do. But when you let the Wall Street gang get in trouble, all of a sudden, we've got money, right? The National Science Foundation has an annual budget of only $6.06 billion to support research and education on astronomy, chemistry, material science, computing, engineering, earth sciences, nanoscience, and physics. $6.06 billion. That's less than 1% of this bailout. Now, the reason that I'm bringing this up is because whenever we get told there is no money for doing progressive science, we ought to remember this. We ought to remember that when they tell us there's no money, it means there's no money for what you people who supply the money want to do with it. There's only money for what we, the politicians, want to do with it. That's what that means. When they tell us there is no money, remember that when we were told there's no more money, and we, you know, we're strapped, and we may have to cut NASA's budget, and we may have to cut the National Science Foundation. Remember that when that was going on and Wall Street got in trouble, all of a sudden they said, oh, yeah, there's money. We can do it. Oh, it'll be tough, but we can do it. Well, I don't want to get into the politics of this thing other than as it touches the things that we talk about, which is science. Now, I'm tough on NASA a lot. I'm tough on NASA because I know that NASA can do a great deal more and can do a great deal better than what we have seen out of them. But that doesn't mean they haven't done a fantastic job. They have done a fantastic job in many, many respects. There are a lot of things that NASA has done for us, for everyday life, and just a tremendous advances that they've made in science, but there are also things where they need to have their feet held to the fire. But I will tell you that when you look at $17.6 billion, that's their entire budget for the year, and you keep hearing Congress say we may have to cut the budget. There's not enough money to do what we need to do. You know, $17.6 billion is a lot of money, and we have to cut back. You hear that, and then you let Wall Street get in trouble, and we're talking $700 billion, and they're going to do it. Remember that. Remember that. Remember when they cut back on money for science, for astronomy, chemistry, material science, computing, engineering, earth sciences, nanoscience, physics. Remember when the cutbacks come, that when Wall Street got in trouble, there was money. Remember that. And remember, when you can't go to a doctor because you can't afford it, and you don't have insurance because you can't afford it, remember this Wall Street deal, and there was no money for you, but there was money for Wall Street. Remember that. And the reason I keep saying remember that is not because I want you to take political action against this Wall Street bailout. That's not the issue. Remember, though, because you do need to step to the plate and take action, like writing and calling your congressmen and senators to support the work that NASA does, to support the work of the National Science Foundation. You need to step to the plate and remind them that you're going to hold them and their Wall Street buddies responsible if they don't support the things that are important to you. Whenever the Wall Street boys are in trouble, it's sort of like this. You either help us or you go down with us. That's the way it's structured. And so we're going to have to, and it looks like that's going to happen. But remember, every time they tell you there's no money for you, every time they tell you that, remember this bailout. And demand, you should demand that they properly fund NASA. NASA ought to be funded to at least double this, at least double what they've got. I mean, $34 billion for the premier space agency on the planet. That's nothing. Come on. National Science Foundation, and all they get is $6 billion, and Wall Street gets $700 billion. Hard, hard, hard to sell that makes sense. So, how big is $700 billion? It's big enough to choke an elephant. All right, tell you what let's do. I'm going to go ahead and open up the telephone line. You may have something that you would like to talk about. But the telephone number is 602-539-9580. 539-9580. All right, let's go to the telephone line, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Yes, hello, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario, Canada.
Hi, Kevin, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
Boy, this bailout sure is a mess, isn't it?
Well, it is. And look, it's a mess on a lot of fronts. It's a mess politically. It's a mess financially, but I just wanted to call our attention to the fact that when they say there's no money for us, there's no money for the things we think are important. Let us remember, when they got in trouble, it sort of went like this. Either you people cough up the money to bail us out, or we're going to shoot the economy.
Well, before I make a comment on that, I'd like to say on behalf of IPUS, Dick, get well soon, man. I've actually been trying to get a hold of Dick the last few days. I didn't even know he had a heart attack.
Yep.
And this comes as a surprise to me. I've been trying to call him all day, and then I found out here on the show tonight that Dick had a heart attack. This is quite a shock. This only comes like only months after Dick suffered a stroke not that long ago.
Yep. He's in the hospital, but he's up and moving around, and he sounds just fine. He sounds just like he always does.
Well, you know, I think what happened with Dick last time, Dick made a remarkable recovery after the stroke, and I think that's because we all wished for his well-being. I think that we got the word out that Dick was ill and that we got him better. I just emailed George Norrie about it, and hopefully he's going to mention about it like he did the last time also about Dick's stroke, and hopefully Dick will get well soon, and the positive energy that the people can send. It's been proven that if people put their minds to it, the collective thoughts.
Well, be sure you call George Norrie and tell him that you told me about it.
Well, on another note, I'm going to make a comment about this bailout thing. You see, that's what you get when you have a private bank that issues the country's currency. Our banks here were privatized back in the 1970s, and ever since, our money has been inflating like crazy ever since, and it's getting even worse now since this bailout fiasco that's been happening. But I know you don't like me going into the realm of the New World Order stuff, but I think that this is where that's the direction that this is taking.
Well, it may be. It may in fact be. I don't mind people talking about that as long as whenever. Here's what happens, though, Kevin. When you get started talking about that, people take flights of fear.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And they'll make these really outstanding and outlandish leaps from one cliff to the abyss in an attempt to go from one cliff to the next. Well, and they don't have anything to back up what they just said. Sometimes they do, but not, I mean, lots of times they make this big, huge leap. And I just don't like to get into the fear business, and I think that's where it leads a lot. So that's one of the reasons I steer clear of it.
Well, the thing with this financial thing is that they're taking the $700 billion, okay? Now, where are they getting this money from?
Out of our pocket.
But the $700 billion, they're putting it out of thin air.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what's backing this money up?
What they're doing is they are signing over for every citizen of the United States of America, they are signing you up for a $2,300 bill that you owe.
The price of our own slavery, that's the way it is, huh?
Mm-hmm. We through these congressmen and senators, are saying, okay, we're going to fork over an additional $2,300 apiece. And now that is that's every man, woman, and child that are citizens of the United States. And of course, not all men and women are working, and no children are working, or they shouldn't be. And so really, the bill for those who are working is probably more like about $10,000 a piece.
You know what, Kev? When I first got into serious UFO research, I swore to myself I'd never get involved in all this stuff. But ever since I've been doing my research, I'm telling you, the pieces have just falling together like a jigsaw puzzle. I've always known the system was always corrupt. Like, not just, like, pretty much everywhere. Like, in pretty much all the Western countries, Canada and the U.S. I've always known it was corrupt, but I just never knew how deep it went until I really started doing my research.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, you know, corruption is worldwide, and it's, the corruption is absolutely in control of most governments on this planet. There are not too many clean governments on this planet.
Well, one person I got to say has really opened my eyes, and I actually talked with him last Saturday night, and that was Jim Mars. He's one person opened my eyes, and I got to thank him again. I think that guy's a true hero.
He is. He's been on the show. Listen, thanks for the call. We're into a break. I got to run.
All right. Have a good night, Kevin.
All right. Best of luck to you. All right, folks, we are into a break, and we'll be back right after this. It is Open Line Live, just for you. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I am Kevin Smith, your host, and for those of you on the video channel, we should have your audio problems fixed now. They should be working now. For those of you who are listening by radio or by computer, no problem. You had no problem whatsoever, but those of you who were on the video feed did. All right, that's been done, and, you know... I sort of hesitated about this bringing this whole thing up about the bailout because, you know, some people, you know, it's kind of a strange thing that we've come to this point that people can't distinguish anymore. They just can't distinguish, you know, what is a political statement and what is not political. They think if the politicians have picked up a theme and they're talking about it, then, oh, you can't talk about that. That's political. Well, look, you know, oxygen has been around a lot longer than politicians have, but oxygen in the air is one of the things that politicians talk about. It's not political. Just because politicians decide they're going to talk about it doesn't mean they own the issue. They are usually... talking about that, and it's normal for them to talk about all kinds of issues, but the issues belong to us, not to the politicians. A lot of times the issue is the politician. A lot of times they are what are, you know, that's what's keeping us from solving a lot of the problems sometimes. And so it's not a political thing to talk about something just because politicians are talking about it. Now, $700 billion is a lot of money. And like I said, just remember the next time they tell you that there's no money for astronomy, there's no money for chemistry, there's no money to do the science research that needs to be done in order to cure the many situations that could be cured, the medical situations that could be cured if we put the right resources behind it. There's not enough money for that. Just remember... remember this $700 billion. Just remember that when they tell you that there's not enough money. Now, I found this next item to be really interesting. I'm not really sure how important it is. Maybe not at all. Do you remember that right before, well, actually the story started circulating right after the beginning of the Iraqi war. And the stories were that there were some sort of ancient Sumerian digs that had been found, and that perhaps those digs contained ancient technology, and that this was in Iraq, and the Germans were doing the archaeological dig. Remember that? Well, hang on to that, because there's some late information about Iraq and some Sumerian finds. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, I do want to send my regards to Dick Criswell. I hope he does get better. When you have him on the show, he's always very interesting to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
He always has some interesting topics that he talks about, and I just want to say get well, Dick, and we hope you're going to be on Kevin's show again soon.
Well, yeah, I hope he will be on the show again soon, too. He's going to be in the hospital, according to the information I got, about 15 days. So,
total heart attack, or was it just minor? Or?
apparently it was pretty major. They're recommending that he have quadruple bypass.
Oh, my.
And they're saying without that, his chances of survival are very, very slim.
Well, if Dick, if you can hear us, please consider getting the quadruple bypass. It probably will actually help you get a lot better soon.
Yeah.
A 700 million, Kev.
700 billion with a B.
Yeah, 700 billion, right. Yeah. Yeah, that's been a topic that's been on the news for the past couple of weeks, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It seems whenever, you know, our government screws up, you know, it's the common taxpayer like you and myself who have to end up, you know, bailing them out. And
And you know what really sticks in my craw is all along the way their attitude towards us is, sit down and shut up, kid. We know what's best for you.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then when we want to talk up about things that are pertinent to what we need to be doing, mm-hmm. as you were saying, like NASA and, you know, the sciences and education and things like that. I'm especially a stickler for education for young people.
Mm-hmm.
The government basically says, well, yeah, but as you were saying before, yeah, we've got the money for it. But when something like this comes up, they say, well, you know, we got to take the money that was available for all these other really important projects and put it on this issue. And I'm really afraid that what's happening is we are going from having, you know, a rich and middle class and a poor class to having an extremely rich class, no middle class, and, you know, a large poor class. I mean, I'm hoping that I'm incorrect about that, but the way our economy is going right now, that's what it looks like, you know, is happening.
Well, and I truly do not know which way the ball is going to bounce here, but we are either watching a rescue of the economy, or we are watching the death of the republic. I don't know which.
Well, another thing is too.
I mean, it's that big. That's what I'm saying.
Right, and I'm not trying to make this a political issue, but I did, you know, work in two political campaigns.
Oops, we'll forgive you.
Right. So, I mean, I've seen these things from a bottom down perspective, but the problem is, I think we give our government too much freedom, and because we do, they basically say, well, you know, we've got the freedom to pretty much do this and do that, and there's been a lot of, you know, really unnecessary, unearmarked spending that they've been doing, and again, we're paying for it. But, you know, unfortunately, that's what happens. Whenever our government runs into major blunders like this, we are stuck holding the bill.
And you know, you've touched on something that is really important, and it's not political. It's just a fact of life in any civilized country where there is a government. And that is, you said we give our government too much freedom. And, you know, here's the deal. The more freedom you give a government, the less freedom you have personally.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the reason that happens is there's only 100% freedom. There's not more than 100%. So the more you grant to that government, the less you have for yourself.
Right. And, I mean, I'm, you know, and again, like I said, I'm not trying to do the political thing, but, you
know. It's not politics to talk issues.
Well, if we want our government, you know, if we want our government to work for us, then we have to start taking an active responsibility in making sure that the folks we elect to the positions that they're supposed to be elected to are working in our best interest. And, you know, and that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Folks have to become not only motivated to vote for the right people, but they have to become educated to vote for the right people. And a lot of people aren't. I mean, I love my mom dearly, but she doesn't vote on a lot. She doesn't do it logically. She does it emotionally. And that's where these problems come in.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Let's say that you went out to buy a car, and you financed this car through a bank. And the bank said, oh, you know, you need to finance it through us because, you know, we're going to give you a better deal, and you know, we're going to take care of you. Everything's going to be good. And so they finance it for you. And by whatever means, along the way, the bank ends up charging you, overcharging you, say, by 30% on this car. And you have to, even though you protest about it, you end up having to pay it. Then you go out to buy another car. And this bank comes along and says, hey, you need to let us finance that for you. Would you do it?
Probably not. I think before I would do anything like that, I would kind of like research around to see where I could get the best deal, like with a bank or a credit union, or even with the...
But you wouldn't trust that bank again, would you?
No, I definitely would not. I would not. I've run into problems with...
Well, listen, there are two political parties in this country that run this country.
Uh-huh.
And they have raped this country again and again and again, both parties.
Uh-huh.
And they keep coming back and saying, vote for us. And America keeps doing it. I say all of the people, who, whether you vote for Republicans or Democrats, you keep putting the same two parties in charge of the hen house, and the hens keep disappearing. That's madness to
uh-huh.
keep doing the same thing and expect you're going to get different results.
Right.
That's madness.
Well, it is. But, you know, I don't know. I just tend to believe, I try to be optimistic about stuff, but, you know, there are times when things just get to the point where you say enough is enough. And I really...
Well, yeah, you know, John Dillinger was very polite when he robbed banks.
Oh, yes,
and,
he was.
And, you know, and a whole lot of...
For Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, and a lot of the politicians are really, really nice and polite and say good things and make us feel good while they take things out of our pockets. I'm just saying, all I'm saying is, I don't have the answer. I don't have a solution, but I can sure as heck see the problem.
Uh-huh.
The problem is obvious.
Right. You know, and I can say the same thing. I mean, I can sit here and come up with ideas and strategies to try to make it better, but does that necessarily mean that my ideas or strategies are the best ideas? Not really, but
mm-hmm.
at least it's something to maybe make those that have caused this mess sit down and think about.
I don't want them to think. I want them to go to jail.
Well, not only that, but I want them.
I don't care if they think. It doesn't matter. I have to think about how we're going to pay this. You have to think about how we're going to pay this to rescue them. So if we're going to rescue them, I think we need to provide them with housing and food and clothes. It's called prison.
Well, even at that, I think maybe if, you know, they have to go to prison, maybe they should end up paying for prison out of their own pocket.
That'd be good.
That'll teach them a lesson.
That'd be good, yeah. Hey, I got to move along, but I thank you for the
uh-huh.
call.
Have a good night.
All right, bye.
Bye.
You see, it is possible to talk about issues without pointing a finger at this politician, that politician, say vote for this one, but don't vote for that one. That's politics. We don't do politics, but we will do issues. Now, see, this $700 billion, this touches archaeology. It touches everything we talk about on this show. It touches archaeology. It touches astronomy. It touches space exploration. It touches everything that we think is important on this show. Genetics. So it's not politics when we talk about the issue. It's only politics if we start saying, well, this party has the right plan, or that party has the right plan, or this politician is the one to support on this. That's politics, and we're not getting into that. I think all those people have discredited themselves so entirely and completely, they're not worth consideration. But the issue of the $700 billion touches everything else in our lives. You can count on that. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. All right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm Kevin Smith, and we are talking about just about anything that you want to talk about. It's Open Line Live Night. But I mentioned just a little bit ago this thing about, you know, right at the beginning of the Iraq War. And, you know, the right at the beginning of the Iraq War, we started seeing stories on the Internet that there had been some ancient Sumerian technology discovered in Iraq, and that that was really the reason for the Iraq War. Now, I'm not saying that. Please understand, I'm not saying that that was the reason. I don't know, okay? I know what the government said about the reason why they went into Iraq. I heard all of that. I've heard people say, other people out there say, well, no, it was because of oil. And I've heard other people say it was because of this ancient Sumerian technology, maybe a Stargate. I mean, there's just been a lot of stuff said. And I'm not saying that I am choosing one or the other here. But archaeologists will soon begin a dig at a site in the southern Iraqi province of Muthana, and it may date back to the Sumerian period. The excavation will take place in the hills near Rumitha, just north of the provincial capital, Samawa. And this is on the banks of the Euphrates River. So, I don't know, pretty exciting stuff happening. And, you know, maybe there is some Sumerian technology there. I don't know. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, this is Dale from upstate New York.
Hi, Dale. How are you?
Pretty good. You're having a great show again tonight.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, I want to give my best wishes to Dick Biswell. I hope he gets better. We still need him. He can't leave yet.
Yeah, he's a much busier guy than people may even realize. I mean, Dick Criswell is sort of like a human tornado. He's just going all the time. And we do need his work, and you know, he's got a unique contribution to it that we need him to stick around for.
That's true. What do you think about this on this $700 billion? Why don't they take that $700 billion and divide it amongst us 300 million people, including mm-hmm. themselves, and see what happens with the economy's end?
Well, the problem is they don't have it. They're going to take it from us in order to get it. That's the problem.
Right. I fully understand that. You know, a lot of people are nervous and confused by all this, and I would be too if I hadn't been investigating a lot of things for the last 5 or 6 years. But the way I see it, this is a major change in our paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
It has to come about if we're ever going to get our country back. And this is just something we're going to have to go through. And when it's all said and done, everybody's going to understand what these people have been doing for a long time.
You know, one of the real problems right now is there's no cover for them. And it's a real problem because they're hanging right out in front of... hanging right out in front of the whole world naked. And we can see that there has been mismanagement, greed, corruption, and now they're saying either give us the money or we shoot the economy. Okay, so we're going to cough it up. It will happen. And but when it's done, never forget.
Well, I will never forget,
mm-hmm.
and I think there'll be millions of us that won't forget.
Yeah, I'll tell you, when you write to your congressman and you say, I want you to double NASA's budget so they can get these projects done instead of taking the next 40 years to get them done, I want them done now. and I want you to double their budget. And then your congressman writes back and says, well, we just don't have the money. You remember this $700
billion. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to make that comment, and I appreciate you having me on.
Well, you're certainly welcome. Here's one more thing for us to remember. The next time these jackasses vote themselves a raise, remember this $700
billion. That's right.
All right.
Thanks
for the call.
Bye.
All right. Yeah, it's if you can take what's been happening to us, and if you can do that and not be angry at the people that have done it and are doing it, well then, you're a unique individual. The telephone number is 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580. And we will take your calls at that number. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Kevin, this is Alberta calling.
All right.
How are you today?
Well, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Well, not too bad. I can't complain. Missed the first half hour of the show, though, because of technical difficulties.
You must have been watching the video.
I tried the broadband as well. I had the same problem on there. But anyways, it's all fixed up, and I'm glad for that. About the $700 billion, why don't they go after the corporations that made large profits last year, such as the oil companies and Walmarts and stores like that, if they want to keep consumers happy and keep people buying, rather than going after the actual consumer and the, the little guy?
Yeah. I'll tell you what would also help, if they put a job export tax on these companies. And for every job that an American company sent overseas, charge them three times the salary, the yearly salary, in tax.
Yeah, really, and that would smarten up a lot of this going to China or going to Mexico or going to where labor is so cheap that we're losing jobs and manufacturing is making such big profits. You know, it's ridiculous.
Well, like I say, if we keep doing what we've been doing and think we're going to get different results, we're mad.
Yeah, that's the definition of insanity, without a doubt. Now, with the Kevin Smith Show, are you running into financial problems?
Oh, yes. The very worst thing I ever did financially in my life was to return to the United States of America.
So we got to keep the Kevin Smith Show going then.
Oh, yeah. It's nose to the grindstone all the time. And, it rolls around every month. Those bills roll around, and it is nose to the grindstone. One of the things a lot of people think, well, you know, you've got all those members. Well, we don't have very many members because, I mean, we got, a couple of hundred members. But that's it, worldwide. And the reason is because everyone wants something for free. Well, for free means it comes out of my pocket and off of my family's table. And there, we hit the limits. So, yeah, it's nose to the grindstone all the time.
Well, I understand that. I really like your show. It's the only one that I actually listen to because it's on during my evening hours before I go to bed. I don't listen to the other ones too often. So, and I'm a member, so I'm going to pledge $40, and I'm going to, ask the other members, we're a family here, why don't you guys dig deep in your pockets, and, if you can throw in $40 to the pot, then let's do it, and let's keep walking here. This is a great program and great entertainment, and I'd just like to say thank you, Kevin.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate it very much. Thank you much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, if for our new listeners, you may not understand, you may think, the show is heard in 95 countries, right? And if it's heard in 95 countries, then quite obviously, it's a huge audience. That's true. And if it's a huge audience, then this guy is making all kinds of money. He's probably rich. Believe me, that is not the case. I don't even make a little money. I don't even take a salary from this show. It takes every penny we can bring in just to pay the bills for the show and keep it going. Okay? I mean, you know, there's electric bills, there's rent on the studio, there's phone lines and phone systems and equipment and Cox cable so that we can be on the internet, all of that. So, yeah, that's happens every month. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this, and I want to talk about a fire burning near Machu Picchu. We'll be back. All right, we are back, and as I said, those who have been watching the video feed early in the show, there was a problem with your audio. It should be fixed now, and those of you who were on the radio didn't notice it, and that's a good thing, because that's the main thing, is the radio feed. Down in Machu Picchu, in South America, in the Andes, there is a fire. A forest fire has damaged two archaeological sites in the valley between Cusco, which is in Peru. Cusco is a city in Peru. And the ancient Incan fortress of Machu Picchu. At least 600 firefighters have been working on the blaze high in the Andes Mountains. And they've brought the fire under control at times, only to see it whipped up again by the winds. So, Machu Picchu, of course, is, a lot of you have been there. A lot of you have actually stood there at Machu Picchu, and you've seen, what a beautiful, beautiful place it is. You've experienced it, and, there's wildfires burning around it now. At one point, the fire threatened the train line that runs to Machu Picchu, but the popular tourist attraction remains open at this time, along with the Incan trails that are used by the hikers. So it's not a good thing, but there it is. It's happening. Now, I did a little bit of research. This is Open Line Live, by the way, and that means that we'll talk about whatever you wish to talk about. The telephone lines are open now at 602-539-9580. And let's go to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith first name and calling.
Oh, hello, Kevin. This is Steve in Fort Worth.
Yeah, Steve.
I just wanted to make a comment. You know, it's with the global warming going on and our supposed global warming, and then, you know, with the crisis with the financial markets. I mean, you know, it just kind of demonstrates how what a fragile world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
I think people take for granted, you know, that everything's always going good, but it's always hanging in the balance, you know what I mean? And but anyway, I was kind of wanting to know, you know, that every time there's a major crisis, there's always the conspiracy theorists that are out there, and the internet is inundated with conspiracy theories.
Yeah,
and I haven't seen that this time around, and I was just curious to know why, because this is an open window.
Well, yeah, there are conspiracy theorists that are working with this $700 billion issue, they would say. And by the way, when I say a conspiracy theorist, they get real upset with that. They think you're making a derogatory comment by calling them a conspiracy theorist. I don't know what else to call them. It's not derogatory. It's. I guess we could call them flugelhorns. So the flugelhorns are out there, and they've been working with this for quite some time, and they've been saying that the Illuminati and various groups working under the Illuminati and with the Illuminati are orchestrating the downfall of the American economy, and that the purpose for causing it to fail will be to force the dissolution of the United States of America so that it can rise again, not as the United States of America, but as part of the North American Union. That's the story. That's the theory.
That's interesting, Kevin. It's kind of crossed my mind with all the circumstances. I mean, everybody's affected. I'm affected. In my workplace, I would say two-thirds of the people that I work with are very affected and very concerned. So I think that's pretty typical of what the population is in the United States, of the amount of people that are concerned with the situation. But would this be a precedence for, let's say, like the mark of the beast or something like that, to whereas, I mean, credit is going to get so tight that it's going to be to the point that, you know, that no man can buy or sell, maybe, unless he accepts this proverbial mark of the beast. I'm going to hang up and hear what you might think about
that. Well, don't hang up yet.
Okay.
Hang on. Yes, it could be leading to that. And the technology to make that happen already exists. It's the chip. And they can put a chip in you that identifies you, and from that ID, for instance, you'd use it just like you use an ATM card now. So you would not be able to buy or sell unless you had that chip that you could, it's implanted in your arm or in your forehead, and you pass in front of a scanner. That already exists. That technology exists. All right. So is this leading to that? I think ultimately, yes. Maybe not immediately, but then again, it could. It could be immediately. But here's why I wanted you to hang on.
Okay.
It's not only going to be that you can't buy or sell unless you have that mark. There's going to be such an impact on the price of food that for the very cheapest type of food, the very lowest quality type of food, you will have to work all day long just to get enough for one meal. Now, when I say it's going to be that way, here's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that I'm predicting that. You brought up the mark of the beast. That comes from the book of Revelation. So what I just told you also comes from the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. And it'll be a day's wages will be a quart of barley. So it's the cheapest type of grain there is for a whole day's wages.
Well, I think that's a possibility because, I see people that are actually, it's like they're being crushed. You know what I mean? I mean, it's people that you looked upon as being very stable and people to look up to, but then with the economic crisis, it's like they've just experienced a major crush. I mean, that was a major disaster in their lives. And I'm saying, you know, that's kind of contrary to the way I live. I've always lived as I'm not going to say I'm a minimalist, but I try to live with a minimal amount of expenses and to enjoy life. But that includes shopping in areas that where I don't pay full retail value for things, and I've noticed lately that the areas that were just exclusive to a certain few people are now inundated with mobs of people that I have to wait in line now to check out. It kind of goes to say like you're saying, where people are going to have a full day's wage just to purchase the basic necessities of life.
Well, you're not even going to be able to get that. If those prophecies are true, I'm running a poll on my website right now.
Okay.
Now, last week I asked in the poll, I said, how accurate do you think Nostradamus' prophecies were, his prophecies about our times? How accurate do you think they were? And then I've got exactly the same question this week, but instead of Nostradamus, I've got how accurate do you think the biblical prophecies are? And I have some more individuals that I'm going and sources that I'm going to put in there and use for the poll. And it's interesting. Now, Nostradamus did pretty good. The Bible is barely ahead. It's barely ahead of 50%. So I don't know. I mean, a lot of people put a lot of stock in the biblical prophecies. A lot of people do not. It's pretty interesting to me.
The connection, the connection here of the downfall of the American empire. We are a superpower that all of a sudden became not a superpower anymore. But we're on the fence of we can either go this way or that way. And to me, it's a conspiracy theorist playground. You know what I mean?
Well, it is that. It is that. And look, we would be foolish to think that there is no such thing as evil in this world. I think evil is self-evident in this world. And
I'll also consider, because I've heard some of your callers call in, and I've heard some of your guests that have mentioned that, that they feel as though there's an alien agenda, to whereas there's a behind the big bankers that are actually controlling the way that the world is being run. And I wonder if we're being if it's possible that we are being set up for a situation that could lead up to a something to where we would have to like I said earlier, to lead back to the mark of the beast, go so far down that you have to accept anything in order to survive in this life. I know that sounds extreme, but it just takes another 2,000 points down on the Dow exchange, and that's where we're at.
If you mentioned is, the possibility of an alien agenda, it all depends, on how you define things. It amazes me how many people there are that are very religious and just choke on the mention of the word alien or extraterrestrial, and yet, that's not all of them, but a good number of them, and yet the very definition of the God that they say they worship is he is extraterrestrial. He is not from here. Their own book says he made here, so if he made here, he's not from here.
Well, that's true, and I agree with you 100%, but it also says that there was one that tried to lift himself to be as the supreme being, but was cast down unto the earth.
Well, and so there you have it. You have for people who accept the Bible as authoritative or inspired, and they believe it's the Word of God, for those folks, there you have it. An absolute admission in the Bible that there are extraterrestrials loose on this earth.
Yes, and I mean, we don't have the power over them. We have, really, they have the, God gave them the rule of the earth until he returns again, basically. And it's kind of curious because we see a lot of things that are going on. It's kind of interesting to me because 3 months ago it seemed like everything was okay, and all of a sudden the whole United States is falling apart, and people are walking around like they don't know, like they've lost their way.
Let me tell you this. I'm not a religious person, right?
Yes.
But see, that doesn't just apply to church and or synagogue or whatever. Here's what it applies to. It applies to anything you can be religious about. And in this country, the majority of the people that I have met and seen, and that's a lot of people, lots of people over the course of my 55 years, that's a lot of people. The majority of them have a real committed religion, they're very, very dedicated to money. And for them, they're watching God die. That's tough.
That's sad. Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, Kevin. I mean, you know, Jesus said that the money was okay, where you elevate it, you know, what has precedence in your life.
A lot of people have multiple gods, multiple religions, and don't even know it. But the reason you're seeing people, you're right, I see it too. People are walking around, they look almost like they're in shock.
Yeah, it's weird. It's really weird. People that work with, and they have businesses that were really profitable, and all of a sudden now they are just literally hanging on and fearful of bankruptcies and whatever, because
my next door neighbor started moving out. He rents over there, and he started moving out, and I was talking with him, and I said, "What's the deal?" And he said, "Well, my boss called us in and said, he wasn't able to make payroll this time, and he couldn't get the financing for it that he always gets, and we're going to have to wait another 30 days." And he said, "I don't think they're going to let me stay here if I have to wait 30 days to pay them." And I mean, that's already starting to happen. And you know, for people whose chief aim and goal in life is money, and their life revolves around money, and it's just highly, highly important to them, we're in a period of time where they are watching God die.
Let me ask you a question, Kevin. I mean, with the media, that they tend to lean towards the negative side of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that has an impact on society? If we just stay positive and believe that, you know what, like I said, 3 months ago, everything was great. You know, it may not have been great, but it's better than it is now. But it seems like everybody has just listened to the worst scenario and has believed it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just like, it's almost like now we are like in a rut and trying to climb out of it. And I don't know if we're going to be able to because of just the pressure of the media constantly every day saying how terrible and how bad everything is.
Yeah.
But in reality, I don't think it's that bad.
All right. Let me tell you, it is that bad, and that's not even beginning to describe it. The $700 billion doesn't even begin to address what really needs to be fixed. And, but they're already saying, after we spend the $700 billion, things are not going to be better. This just keeps it from getting worse. So, I think it's that bad. It just depends on how attached people are to things. The way I see it, is the only guarantee you had when you were born is you're going to die. Everything else is optional. And, you get to fill in the blanks. And so is everything going to be okay? Yes. Is it going to go back and be the same as it was? No, it's never going to be that way again. That's gone. You got to realize that.
That's right. It's history. Exactly.
That's gone. All right, so now what? Is everything going to be okay? Absolutely. For those who want it to be okay, it's going to be okay. I'm okay. Well, what if you wind up with no money? I haven't had any money, didn't have any money yesterday, didn't have any money the day before, I haven't had any money in 4 or 5 years. I'm still living.
Right.
I'm okay.
Right.
So when you're born, you get a guarantee stamped on your little baby butt. And that guarantee says you're going to die. Everything else is optional. So it's up to
you. I really appreciate, you always have a good perspective on every situation that comes along. And I really enjoy your show. And, if I have to lose everything, I hope I don't lose my internet connection and my computer so that I don't have to lose the opportunity to listen to your comments and your commentary on the daily events. But I want to just throw, you know, once again saying, you know, that maybe there is some conspiracy theorists out there that have some insight to what is what could be happening that is behind the cloak of who knows what. You know what I mean?
I mean,
like you said, you alluded to the Illuminati or the alien agenda. I mean, is there some higher authority that is causing this to take place? I mean, that's my question.
And there probably there probably is. So if somebody knows, they can give us a call and let us know.
I enjoyed talking to you, Kevin. I'll call again.
Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks. You know, so I've been told that there are people that don't like it when I get into the background and philosophy of things. There are people that love it, however, and you know, the fact is this. The fact is we don't live in a vacuum. That's a fact, okay? We don't live in a vacuum. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hi. Interesting times we live in, huh, Kevin?
Yeah, it is. Would you rather live in mundane times, or is this pretty cool?
I think it's pretty cool. You know, when you're not getting beat up too much in it, it's pretty interesting.
Let me ask you a question. Do you surf?
No, I used to a little bit when I was younger, but the waters got pretty polluted.
Yeah. Well, you know, I used to do a lot of things when I was younger than I don't do now, but when you surf, you know, there's always that, you know, there's the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, and there's always that little bit of something in the back of your mind that says, I hope there's not any sharks around here.
Oh, I know.
And living in these times is sort of like surfing.
Can I make a comment that would probably be way above a catalytic population type of thought?
Go.
Is it me, or does it seem that there is absolutely nothing you can really do to change your government except make more money than the person next to you, or you know, and or not get reamed by the government? In other words, is it me, or are things just going to happen like you say, surfing wise? They're just going to happen. You have to either roll with them or oppose them. However, the only thing you can do is outthink the people around you.
Well, look, let me tell you, there are a lot of possibilities here. One, do we just have to take it? We don't have to. In this country, with our form of government, we could decide that, you know what, we've been brainwashed by two parties, and that's as bad as being brainwashed by one party. We've been brainwashed by two that tell us we have to have them, and our system will not function if we don't have these two parties.
That's why a lot of us won't vote for any of the elections, because we just feel like we're picking between two piles of poop.
Well, there you go. Okay, so we don't have to. We can change it. Now, my prediction, will we change it? No. Do you know how many people believe that the two-party system is in the Constitution, and it's just American? It's not American. It's a recent development in America.
I thought
fairly recent. But you know, we could have 100 parties. But the point is, will we? Probably not. And so at that point, all you can do, grab your surfboard and go for the ride.
I had one quick thing. I talked to a historian once, an ancient historian that studied a lot of different things, such as the way Germany was before the Nazis took over. You know, where their economy was.
Bob, break is taking over, so I'm going to have to run. But do you want to hold on during the break? I'd like to hear your comment.
Sure, I will.
All right, hang on. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. It's the Kevin Smith Show. I'm the Kevin Smith, and all across this country, from sea to shining sea, all around the globe and extending into the interstellar regions beyond, people are joining in and listening to the Kevin Smith Show. We have a caller on the line. And, caller, go ahead with your comment. I had to break in and cut you off as we went to break, but go ahead. Hello, caller. Well, then, I guess we lost our caller. All right. I thought he was going to hang on through the break, but I guess we lost him. The telephone line is open, and the telephone number is 602-539-9580. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I hope my reception doesn't break up.
Yeah.
I was going to add that the historian that I talked to, who's real old and is extremely intelligent, that just kind of laughs at all the little squabbles about life, he said that this stuff happens all the time with governments. It happened during the Russian Revolution when tons of people migrated, and happened in Germany, and it happens all the time. He says, just put your blinders on, and nothing will change with the government until that there's mass starvation and riots. And only then will the people start voting all the crooked people out because they get so pissed off and have nothing left to lose. Is this statement true? Thanks.
No, well, I think it's probably pretty close to true. People generally don't do anything about what's happening to them until it gets into their pocketbook. Once you get into their pocketbook, they get very religious about making changes. Telephone line is open at 602-539-9580. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you?
Yeah, it's Kevin from Northview, Ontario again.
Yes, Kevin?
I heard talking about the RFID chips.
Uh-huh. Make it quick. You've already had one call.
Oh, I've only had one call. Yeah, I just wanted to say I got an update a couple days ago about FEMA camps. I don't know if you want to talk about that on your show or not.
It's up to you. It's open line, but you have to make it quick.
Well, I got a report from one of my sources about FEMA camps that that they've been reporting. One of them reported that one of the FEMA camps that was, quote, firing up, meaning that they were noticing smokes coming out of the chimneys. They were noticing, hearing vehicles going in late at night, seeing vehicles going in and possibly carrying people into the FEMA camps. So.
And where was that camp?
This was a camp, one of the camps down in Texas.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you get any further information on that, any further details, I'd like for you to keep us abreast of that.
Well, I have been getting a few details that are related to it and also on this subject, but I don't know if I want to mention it on the show. It does get a bit political. So, but it ties in with the Rex 84 and the you know, the Rex 84 program.
Okay.
Let me just say that they said that approximately 2 weeks before martial law is called, that they're going to start rounding up patriots, dissidents against that speak out against, you know, Big Brother.
How do you know?
Oh, let's say coming from people who are on the inside that have released information on it. Those who are on blue and red lists, they're going to be picked up before about approximately 2 weeks before, like, full-out martial law is called. And according to my sources, the camps have been starting to be fired up around this time, because we've got the it's kind of funny that they started to be firing up just as this whole bailout issue started out. And this I'm going on the far end extreme of this quote conspiracy theory stuff, but from what I've been hearing and what I've been seeing, I'm inclined to believe that it's really happening.
Well, I certainly hope that it's not happening, but let me ask you this. If it is happening, what do you plan to do?
What do I plan to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we are still supposed to be in democracies. And I think if there's anything that we can do about it is to get people to inform people about it and get them to stand up and fight and speak out against it. I think that's the best way to do it.
Well, if you stand up and speak out against it, that gets you put on a list and you get put in a camp.
Kev, I think I've been on the list I've been on the list for a long time. If there is such a list, I've been on it for a long time. So.
So what do you think? You think this information is real information?
Well, I do know that there's a plan to do such a thing, to imprison those who do dissent against the government in the case of a national emergency. That's under the Rec 84 program. Now, when it comes to blue and red lists, I'm sort of 50-50 on that one. But I do know that there is a from both the U.S. and Canada that in the case of a, quote, national emergency, and, of course, the national emergency can mean anything, like from economic collapse to an epidemic to just a terrorist attack anywhere on the planet.
Yeah, I understand. And dissidents can be anything from standing up and saying this is wrong to simply reporting on events.
Yeah, you remember the bills in 1959 that got defeated there. If that would have passed, it would have made speaking out against the government illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And there was similar...
Are you aware of the fact that if you work for the United Nations, you are not allowed to say anything negative about the United Nations at all?
Yeah, I find that kind of funny. I've brought this up a couple of times today in other places.
I know it's in your contract, and you cannot say anything negative against the United Nations. Furthermore, you're not allowed to have official contact and report back to your home government. You take your orders from the United Nations.
I know it's kind of like good, but yet we've seen the United Nations. They've pushed and they've called for democracy in other places. Yet their own ambassadors aren't elected by the countries aren't elected by the representative countries.
Mm-hmm.
But they're crying about democracy. They're all for democracy, yet their own representatives aren't democratically elected.
Well, none of our ambassadors are democratically elected. They're all appointed by presidents.
Yeah, well, if the United Nations and therefore people and human rights,
mm-hmm.
And therefore democracy, then the people that represent the country should be elected by their country, shouldn't they?
Oh, I don't know. I don't want the United Nations to be efficient. I want the United Nations to continue to not be efficient. That's the only way you still have freedom in Canada, and that's the only way I still have freedom in the United States, and anyone else in the world that's free, that's the only way they have freedom is because the United Nations has not been able to put it all together yet. Gotta run. Thanks for the call.
Have a good night.
All right. The telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 602-539-9580. And I think I can probably put that up on the screen for you if you're watching our TV feed. And let's go back to the telephone caller. You are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. It's Kevin in North Carolina.
Hi, Kevin in North Carolina.
I've been waiting all week for open lines. I've got something on the UFO media disclosure issue I want to report on.
Well, let's do it.
Before we go there, a few callers back, I didn't get his name, asked about the alien agenda thing.
Yeah.
And you also mentioned something about money and its place.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the true comment, everybody gets it wrong. They think it's money is the root of all evil.
Mm-hmm.
It's the love of money.
You know who Reverend Ike is? Do you know who Reverend Ike is?
Reverend Ike?
Yeah, you ever heard of him?
I don't think so.
Well, back in the late 50s and the 60s and up into the early 70s, Reverend Ike was sort of the quintessential health and welfare preacher.
Okay.
And he says, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. The Reverend Ike says the lack of money is the root of all evil.
There you go.
Yeah, that's the Reverend Ike. But look, there's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with money. It's just a medium of exchange. The problem is that people have lost their minds. They no longer think, they feel. And they have attached their emotions to money and what it can do for them. They've attached their emotions to things and the status those things bring them. So anything that you've got your emotions attached to, as that crumbles and falls and dies, it's devastating for you because you've attached your emotions to it.
Well, the fellow asked, does anyone know of an alien agenda connected to all this? And I'm going to give my basic, as I understand it, opinion.
All right.
There's two general alien agendas out there. I mean, there's tons and tons of them, but two general groups of alien agenda.
Right.
One group has a, we want to help out, but we have a non-interference directive, meaning they won't force their help on us. They won't help us if we're going to be violent and all that.
Right.
Then there's another group that sees us as a resource that wants to utilize us, and that's probably the agenda he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the one thing that's been pointed out to me that I had a light bulb moment. If they see us as a resource, like we might see cattle in a field, what do you do when you own that cattle and you don't want anybody to do anything with it? If it's unmarked cattle, it's free range and somebody else can come along and claim it or do what they want. But if you brand it or put your mark on that cow, that's your cow. And no one can dispute that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take the mark of the beast that they talk about, I think what that does is basically tells all those aliens that would help out with their non-interference directives that you made up your mind and you don't want their help. That's why I would never take that chip.
Well, I have no intentions of being chipped. For many, many, many reasons. And I think I own me, and that's a good enough reason. I own me. Nobody else owns me. And once you take that chip, believe it, you don't own yourself. You have no rights, no privacy, no nothing. You belong to the chip owner then.
Yeah, it's one more. I just think with the whole $700 billion thing, it's the same thing they were doing with the Great Depression. It's more consolidation of power into a more and more essential, deal. They're trying to move us towards common currencies and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I bet a break's coming up, and yes, I'll hang on, but what I wanted to report on was, and darn it, I missed Robert Morningstar last week, but the UN agenda,
uh-huh.
I noticed something in a recent UFO show, the one that was about a week or so ago on ABC,
yep,
that it was basically a remake of a Peter Jennings show by the exact same name with most of the same clips from 2005.
Yeah, that was his same crew. That was the Peter Jennings crew that put it.
Peter Jennings is dead.
Yeah.
And this was a new commentator, and I got to watch the Peter Jennings version. It aired over the weekend on National Geographic Channel.
Uh-huh.
And it reminded me of, I didn't get to watch the entire thing, but it reminded me enough of why that first one upset me so much. Basically, the new moderator...
Okay, we're into a break. You get to hold.
Okay.
All right, hang on. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this, and we'll find out what was wrong with that second documentary, or the first one, or what was wrong with both of them. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Let me remind you, if you haven't paid attention early in the show to this, let me remind you that you need to go over to AlienSeekerNews.com. Now, why? Well, because AlienSeekerNews.com is an excellent resource. If you're interested in anything having to do with extraterrestrials, with UFOs, with lunar anomalies, with anomalies on Mars, with space exploration, and even paranormal things, you know, like ghosts and hauntings and things like that, you need to go to alienseekernews.com and check that out, all right? So be sure you do that. All right, caller, we had to break in. I believe this is Kevin, right?
Yeah, Kevin in North Carolina.
All right, Kevin, we had to break in because of the break taking over, so pick up where you were and move forward, sir.
Okay, just to briefly, what I'm talking about is in 05, Peter Jennings did a two-hour special on ABC looking at the UFO agenda, and I think most people serious about ufology kind of did an, they didn't give us a fair shake. There was
right.
an awful lot of, I would say, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge to it,
yep.
as often is in the media. Now, this remake was 30 minutes shorter, and it added information about Stephenville. So they had to cut a lot out.
Okay.
Well, I watched the new one twice, and as I said, over the weekend, National Geographic ran the original one, and I got to watch a good bit of it. And in my estimation, here's the basic difference between the two. In the original, Peter Jennings was the narrator with his sarcasm and, you know, basically giving a little bit of a disbelieving wink, wink, nudge, nudge air to it.
Right.
I believe that the new narrator, I think his name was John Muir or David Muir, something like that, he gave a very serious, fair telling of the story, in my opinion. Also, what was missing was an awful lot of the critics. Peter, I don't think that, what's his name, Shermer, wasn't even in the new one. A lot of the other UFO skeptics weren't included. They dropped the pieces where they show MUFON investigators working out of their house, kind of like a back-askance look at trying to imply all ufologists are amateurs and don't know what they're doing. All of that was missing.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, it was far more positive towards the idea of UFOs, with the following exceptions. They still left in talk about Roswell actually being Project Mogul, the balloon thing. They still left in a fella named McGahey, who's an astronomer and a big UFO skeptic, but what he had to say was very limited, and it was about the Phoenix Lights.
Mm-hmm.
But they gave it in such fair perspective, they overwhelmingly were more positive about Phoenix Lights. Then the only real thrust of skeptics they left in were about abductions. And then it hit me what you and Robert Morningstar talked about on a earlier show, that what came out of the whole UN thing is we need to start moving people towards basically believing in alien life, but we're, what was it, still going to, you know, however they worded it, be derogatory towards anyone who claims contact.
That's right.
And I said, I just had a V8 moment and said, oh my gosh, that's exactly what this was. There to me is, you might say, proof in the pudding type evidence that it's very possible this UFO meeting was for real, and what they said they were going to do, they're carrying out.
Well, it appears to me, whether the meeting took place or not, let's say that it didn't. Let's just assume it did not take place. The alleged agenda is still being carried out.
Yes.
All right, since the alleged agenda is being carried out, since it's being carried out, it seems to support the idea that the meeting actually took place. Else, why would you have an alleged agenda?
Yeah, that was what I was getting at, was it's that the reported agenda
yeah.
seems to be exactly what this revised show is doing. I mean, and why not come out with a whole new show?
Mm-hmm.
It was obviously an attempt at revision. That's why it was just same thing re-edited. They could get that done quicker and get it on the air than making an entirely new special.
Yeah.
Plus, they
okay.
They saw,
Kevin, I appreciate the call. Very interesting stuff. I've got to move along. I have some other calls lined up if they're still on hold. And yeah, I agree. I think the agenda that was announced appears to be being carried out. We have time for one more call, and we'll accept it right now. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Kevin, it's Charles in Albuquerque.
Hi, Charles. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Good.
I see we lost our little chat line there.
I warned you about that. You know what happened to the chat line?
No.
What happened was I did another open line show where after the second or third call, I had to do the entire rest of the show while chat went crazy. And this is a radio talk show. It's not a video chat show. And so it was detrimental to the show. And I've gotten a couple of emails where people were not happy about that. But it was detrimental to the show, and, you know, I had to do what I had to do in order to make sure that that it did not continue to drag the show down.
Well, I can see your point that you'd rather have people, if they're going to make comments, call up and make them on the air.
Well, it's sort of more than I would rather. It's absolutely necessary since it is a talk show.
And I don't know, though, that most of the stuff that we were saying in chat would not really have added to the show, I don't think.
Well, since I killed the chat feature, the call volume has gone back up.
Well, I'm going to rat on you.
All right.
There still is a chat.
Is there?
In the members section.
Uh-huh. That's true.
People want to chat, all they have to do is join and become a member, and they can chat right along with me and Jan.
That is true. And to become a member is 23 cents a day. Not too bad.
A real deal.
Yeah, it's a real deal. So what are you going to do with your part of the $700 billion bailout here? I mean, you just going to turn it over to them, or you know, you're going to go kicking and screaming down with it in your hand, or how are you going to do it?
I think I'm going to go buy gold.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. That's gold has never been worth zero.
Well, seriously, I think I'm going to buy some junk silver.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what's coming, but what's coming is not what we had, that's for sure. And what we had is over. That's gone.
Well, like you say, would you rather live in dull times or interesting times?
Well, I'd rather live in interesting times myself, and I'm getting my wish. I am surfing. Someone told me I'm surfing the apocalypse now. So, but I don't think so. I really don't. I think, you know, we live in some interesting times. I'm not sure where all this is coming out, but we're all going to come out pretty much at the same place. Wherever that is.
Yeah, well, I'll be Christmas shopping with you in December of 2012.
Cool. That means you'll have to be in Bangkok to do your Christmas shopping because I'll be there doing my party on December the 21st. And December the 22nd, I'm going shopping at Big C. Do you know what Big C is?
No.
Big C is the Thailand version of kind of like Walmart. Hey, we've hit the end of the show. Man, Charles, I appreciate the call. And sorry about the chat, but I'm glad you called in.
Oh, you'll know I'll call again.
All right, thanks. All right, folks, that's it. That's the end of the show for this evening. And there we go. It's the end of the show for this evening. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. It's been a blast. I'll meet you back here tomorrow night. My guest is going to be William Warrick III. We're going to talk about UFOs. Until then, so long, everybody.